You're listening to episode 81 of Power Pearls Podcast, intuitive, purpose-driven yarn crafting to empower your knits and pearls. If you absolutely love this show and you want to help it to be sustainable for the long haul, then you can do your part and sponsor Power Pearls Podcast. With your influence and help, we can take this exciting ride together. To learn more how to become a sponsor, visit patreon.com/Karagot Warner. Hey everyone, before we get started, I just want to let you know that you're going to notice that my sound quality is a little bit different than usual because guess what I did? I forgot to turn on my microphone. My nice one, that is. So you're hearing me talk on my desktop microphone, the one that's built into my computer. So still sounds good, you know, but it could be a little bit better. So that is the reason for the slightly different sound quality. But I think you're still going to enjoy.
Hey, Tabitha, how are you, my dear?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's kind of funny because we're starting over this little bit, you know, saying hello again because we had a little bit of a rocky start this morning, but it's okay. We're two gals having some great conversation, right?
That's right.
That's all that matters. And we're doing it right here on Power Pearls Podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I just want to say welcome to another episode, everyone. And I'm here with my co-host, Tabitha Hedrick. And today we're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to both of our hearts. And it is defining your purpose-driven mission. And we're just going to kind of go into that and talk about how that relates to our lives right now. And, you know, because I think that this, for me personally, is just resonating a lot. So I just thought this would be a great topic to chat about today. And so we'll dive into that. Does that sound good?
That sounds good. Yeah, that's a fantastic topic to talk about.
Yeah. And so, you know, over the last couple of episodes, you know, we have been talking about business and starting your business and, you know, all that businessy stuff. But, you know, I think this has to do with life, business, you know, when it comes to creating something that's more purpose-driven, focusing on your why. You guys have heard us talk about that quite a bit, and just staying connected to your why and why that's your why and why. How many times can I say why? But if you're starting a creative endeavor or you are building that fiber-loving business, you know, because it's so easy to lose sight of why you start something in the first place, and then you can just go down the wrong path. I know I've done that myself personally. So I definitely might get a little raw and real in this episode talking about my own experiences over the last year, you know, since I've been on my own. It's like, it's amazing how 2017 was the throw the spaghetti on the wall year, and 2018 is now, it's been reflection, but now sort of, you know, still doing a little bit of the mining, you know, mining like the stuff, pulling it up and then really kind of honing in and now getting ninja focused.
Yeah.
And that was something that you said to me before we started in the pre-chat, Tabitha, when I was sharing some of the things that I'm doing, the goals that I have in my business now, they're really connecting to my heart, you know, really connecting to my passion and kind of infusing all of that. So, and you said, hey, I can see a difference, right? So
Yeah, that things are becoming more defined and more specific, even if they feel like they're broad and all over the map, they still connect to the points that they're supposed to connect to.
Mm. Well, exactly. And I think that sometimes it's almost like that staircase analogy, you know, the Martin Luther King analogy that if you can't see the whole staircase, yeah, just have faith that the other steps will appear. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'm going through in my business, what I've learned to trust is to have that faith. I think you can say faith in life in general. In business, you definitely need faith. I'm learning that more and more, that in business, I do need some serious faith. Because it's so it's so hard to trust that the steps will appear because they do. So so I feel like those pieces are sort of coming together a little bit. And also, you know, talking about this kind of this purpose-driven focus, this mission that I think is important for us to connect to, it, you know, it's how can we help benefit others in a purposeful way too? But I think before we do that, we have to make sure that it's something we really connect to. Because I mean, we hear that, right? Where, oh, you know, serve others. But you have to really practice self-care and self, like, it, you have to be introspective too and really think about what is it that I really want to do? When you finally hit that spark, you know, and you tune into your purpose-driven reason for doing anything, whether it's business or in life, it gets you excited. That makes you want to pop out of bed in the morning. It's not always easy. And like the same, like, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert, Big Magic. Yeah. I'm reading that again. I'm not really reading it again. I'm listening to it again in an audiobook.
Right. I do the same thing.
I mentioned in another episode, I did the same thing with Jen Sincero's book, You Are a Badass. And reading, instead of reading the book this time, I'm listening to the book. And it's just like looping. It's like floating in my head. It's there when I'm knitting. It's there when I'm driving. It's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've listened to Big Magic twice.
And so, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about your, you know, that spark, right? You know, that fairy dust, whatever, you know, that the inspiration.
Yeah.
It comes and then it goes, right? So it's like, it's easy for me to say, get excited and inspired and find your purpose. But when it's ready to speak to you, I mean, until it's ready to speak to you, sometimes it's just not there. It's, there's not, you know, you just have to kind of reside in that, you know, patient acceptance. And still that's really hard to accept too.
It is. There's a lot about, I love writing so much, but still forcing my butt to get in the chair to actually do it is really, really hard. And I think the reason why, even if it's something we really love and we have passion for and we get so excited about and we know it's our purpose, I know what my why is. I know why I want to write. I believe with the core of my being, and I believe it is my purpose. But man, doing it, making myself sit down is really hard.
It's just so hard.
And it's that same way, like, I love knitting my samples when I design something. I love it. I'm driven to do it. I can't see myself not doing it, but there are sometimes I'll start knitting for like 5 minutes and I'm like, okay, I need to put this down for a second. And it's, and then coming back to it can be really, really hard sometimes. And so fear gets in the way. It's mostly fear.
Is it fear or would you call it also resistance? Because that's another,
I don't know. I think resistance comes from fear. I think whatever is in our backgrounds, whatever happened in our childhoods, just whatever is going on currently, I think fear is the motivator of resistance. Mm-hmm. You know, fear of not being good enough, fear of being too good and getting attention that you don't want. You know what I mean? Just whatever the fear is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to circle back to something that you just said a few minutes ago about sitting and writing or knitting, sitting, knitting, whatever. Sitting. But like when you don't feel inspired, and this is something that Elizabeth Gilbert says in Big Magic, and I found it to be very comforting because it's like, you know, you could come from the angle of, well, I'm just not going to do it because I'm not feeling it. And then you just kind of wallow in the, you know, you kind of go in, you can spiral a little bit into the darkness of, I'm not, you know, good enough. I can't sit. I can't do it. I'm not feeling inspired. But what she says is, I love the way she phrased it, but something to the effect of, like, she referred to some famous writers, because she's a writer. So she uses the example of a writer, but it doesn't matter. It could be knitter. It could be designer. It can be creative. It could be fiber lover, whatever. This is why we're talking about this. But she says, I really wish that whatever, insert famous writer name here, didn't fall off the face of the earth and stop writing because they didn't feel inspired, or they were comparing themselves to their last work and thinking, oh my gosh, I can't top that.
Yeah.
I wish they just sat there and just wrote something, even if it was crappy. Just, and so this is what feels inspiring or comforting and inspiring. It was like, just put something out there, even if it's crap.
Even if it's crap.
You know, because then in a way it's like you're testing your, or you're just saying, ha, fear, you know, yes, you're afraid. Because she uses in the book, she talks about courage. So she says, courage is not the absence of fear, by the way. So there's a big distinction there. You don't say, oh, I'm fearless. I think she says there's a difference there. She talks about fearlessness is different. Because if you're fearless, then you don't need courage.
It's very true.
So to have the have the courage to put out something, even if it's, if you feel like it sucks and it's crappy,
and not even that, some people are just embarrassed.
Right.
Some people are afraid of being exposed. Some people are afraid of upsetting their peers or coworkers with an idea.
But we have one life. It's like a flash. As you know, it's been phrased, I've heard it phrased before. This is what zaps me is, no pun intended, but it's like a flash of lightning. You know, our lives are that short.
Yeah.
And the way I look at it, even when I was younger, of course, I thought, 80 or 90 years old. Whoa, that's forever. But even now, like I could, okay, you know, sorry to be like, you know, not that it's morbid or dark, but we could die any day. We could die today. But even if I live another 50 years, like if I live as long as my grandmother did to 95, it's not a long time. That's still, I mean, that's, you know, how old am I now? I'm 49. Oh my gosh. I'll be 49 this week.
Oh my gosh.
49.
Happy birthday.
So, but anyway, that's not a whole lot of years when you do the math and you think in the history of the world this is a speck. So do we want to live our lives in this mediocre existence? I mean, maybe, you know, we're happy with a simple life and we don't have our dream, we're pleased doing what we're doing, whatever that is. But my point is that if you're not, and you feel like you're holding back and you're scared because you don't have enough knowledge, or let's say I've heard this. Okay. I've heard this from my coaching clients that are getting their feet wet in, you know, they want to design, they want to start a fiber business. Maybe they don't want to design, they just want to do something that expresses this creative fire. Right. Mm-hmm. And they think it's so uncommon or quirky and no one's done it. Or if someone has done it, well, they're better than me. Right.
Right.
And so the limiting beliefs set in. And so if you're dealing with that, you know, then just that's the thing, that if you stay in the comfort zone, that can really create that depression and that spiraling down. But like, I will just encourage people to say, you know, all right, explain, like, you don't have to be that much ahead of other people. Like literally, like if you are just a few steps ahead of the people that you teach, you're an excellent teacher, you know what I mean? And you can express the simplest concepts because you're that close to those concepts. That's very powerful.
Yeah.
You just have to be like a role model for other people and a leader. So even people that are laterally within your, wheelhouse when it comes to like understanding and knowledge, if you present yourself as someone that, you know, is a leader, is someone that can excite and inspire others, then that's something to celebrate. And so anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just trying to think, there was like, I'm reading this book called Designing Your Life, How to Build a Well-Lived, Joyful Life. I think, their names are, Davis and starts with a B, Burnett. Burnett. It is Burnett. I'm Googling it right now, but they had a line in there that I just read. I'm trying to like flip, I'm scrolling through here to see if I could find it. What the line was. If you're like most of us, then the reason your choosing process is stuck isn't about your knowledge. It's just about the length of your list and your relationships with all of those options. And then they go into a whole big story about, you know, just look at how when you're trying to buy jam, you know, narrowing down all those options. But they really hit the nail on the head there about it's not about your knowledge. It isn't, there are going to be some people who know more about some things and other people who know more about other things. But what sets them apart isn't their knowledge about that particular subject. You can look at all of the knitting teachers that teach at a fiber event, and you'll see I just looked at one the other day. There were three or four different mosaic slip stitch classes. All three of those teachers are relatively teaching the same thing, but people aren't drawn to the specific thing that they're teaching. They're drawn to how that person is able to, through their work, show who they are and what they believe and what they do. It's that connecting the dots between those three things is all it boils down to. Not knowledge, not expertise, and I won't even say passion, really, but that their purpose of their life, their purpose-driven life, is felt. You may not know what their purpose is, but it's felt through the way they're able to connect all of the things.
Yeah. Well, and I think that comes down to doing something really basic. And it's like, take a piece of, you know, pad of paper and write down, like, if you're not sure, like, how can I, you know, what is it that I love to do aside from, let's say you want to start a business as a knitter, or you a business as a knitwear designer, let's say, or crochet or whatever. But like, just to uncover like the things that are right underneath your nose, right there every day. Like, oh, people ask you for advice, and you inspire people, you know, so maybe that could be something.
Yeah.
In my case, I mean, I can use my example because instead of just random things. And you could jump in too with yours, but like with my driver behind everything for me, my passion for knitting helped me to become, you know, an editor of a magazine. I was an illustrator. Now, I went to school. I have a degree in illustration. Back when I was in school, I wasn't even really knitting. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I knew how to knit, but I wasn't like as excited. That wasn't my main passion. But later on, it came back and helped me because I said, well, gosh darn it, I got to figure out how to keep my passion for knitting swirling in the ethers. And I think Elizabeth Gilbert uses that word a lot because it's the driver. I use that passion. That passion is the driver. I've talked about that a lot in the podcasts and videos and stuff like that. And then I realized that, you know, indirectly, you know, knitting in and of itself, the knitting is not what pays my bills, but it was the passion that led me down the road to becoming, using that passion in a more, like in a skill-based way. Mm-hmm. So it was where we've heard that phrasing of the skills and passion when they intersect. And that was how I was able to tie that in. So, you know, with the illustration, I just started working with craft publishers, creating illustrations for, you know, hand and technique illustrations. And that was it. And I became known for that. And it was, and then people knew, oh, well, she's also a knitter. So if there's no reference, she can figure it out. I mean, that was like my way of like being like, hey, no problem, no reference, no problem, whatever. So, I mean, these are just some simple examples, but, yeah. But I think if we think about it, we can kind of see that in our own life, how we can help tie that into whatever our profession is, and then have the confidence to just test it out and see where it takes you, because that's what people really care about. They want to see the real you.
They do. And one of the questions I get a lot is, oh, how do I define my why from all of these things and everything? And I have two pieces of advice for that. the first piece is it doesn't have to be like super deep and spiritual and, mm-hmm. and emotional. I mean, that helps for sure. But it could be as simple as my why right now is I want to be self-sufficient. That's a strong why. Now, can you connect that to what you believe and what you're doing? And then you've got a purpose-driven mission. Mm-hmm. And my second piece of advice is to realize that our whys and our purpose change throughout our whole life. So nothing is static. It's always evolving. Mm-hmm. My why right now as a 38-year-old woman, my birthday was last week.
You're 10 years younger. I always forget, like, you're sorry. This is like, I'm totally going
it's because you're so
10 years younger than me.
That's because so immature, Kara. We come so, like, childish.
I know age doesn't matter. Like, I said that to somebody, like, I don't know, what I remember this so well, and they took offense to it. I'm like, no, I didn't mean it, like, as if I'm better. But I was like, because I don't feel like, what does 49 feel like? I still feel like I'm 20 or yep,
exactly.
I don't even know. And I said, I don't feel old. Like, what does 49 feel like? When I was 16, I felt like crap because I was not, you know, I didn't know how to even take care of my body.
Exactly. And you just touched on exactly what I was going for. Like, as a freshly minted 38-year-old woman and a mom of two, my why, my purpose, is not the same as my 19-year-old self. And it won't be the same purpose when I'm at my 58 or 78-year-old self. So you have to let yourself evolve. And with that, know that you just start where you are.
And I totally agree with that. And I wanted to kind of talk about something else. We were talking about fear before and a little bit about resistance. So I talked about Big Magic, but another book that I'm reading, I'm really bad about reading more than one book at a time.
Same.
So I'm also, and these are books that I'm rereading. So, okay. So Big Magic is my audio.
Right.
And then, The War of Art.
It's your physical reading.
My physical reading. And it's a very simple, it's like really thin book. And it's the second time I'm reading this book. And it is absolutely stunning book by Stephen Pressfield.
Okay.
I highly recommend everyone. This is required reading. I repeat, this is required reading. Anyway, War of Art. And he also wrote another book called Going Pro. Now, the reason why I really like these books, listen, you guys, if you're not, you don't have to be like starting any kind of business or whatever. This is if you want to really have impact in your own life. You want to really connect and live your life to the fullest authentically, you know, and, you know, maybe just create an amazing garden. I mean, whatever it is, you know. So he talks about resistance, and the first half of The War of Art is about resistance, and it is the thing that keeps us from taking a chance on something hard. It's like, by default, if you struggle, if you want to stay in your comfort zone, be sure it's resistance. Like, if you want to start an art project, like a big undertaking, something artistic, a writing project, designing a business, especially an entrepreneurial endeavor. Resistance is there. It is by default in your face.
Right.
And so it's our job to realize that and to work against and kind of, you know, learn the tools to fight against resistance. And it's similar to what Elizabeth Gilbert says in Big Magic, is to just get in there and just show up. Showing up. You know,
So I'm listening to, or I'm reading Designing Your Life book in person, but I'm re-listening for the second time On Writing by Stephen King. Mm. And it's part memoir, part writing instruction from his perspective.
It's not a scary book. It's not like anything.
No, it's about writing.
I would love to read that because I've
read
so many, whether you're right, I would think it's similar to like a Elizabeth Gilbert read, you know, it's like writing, what he's saying, it doesn't have to, it's like a metaphor or a symbolic Translated into other art.
A third of the book is very specific to writing.
Oh,
like,
it is. Okay.
Like, you know, like he hates, like, don't using adverbs, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, but that's about a third. So the first third is part memoir, his life and how he came into writing. And it was a very hard, difficult, poor life. I was quite stunned at some of his background. And then some of it's on writing and, or, you know, specific to writing. And then a third of it is inspirational. Like, so, and I'm sitting here, one of the lines from it was, amateurs sit and wait for inspiration. The rest of us just get up and go to work. Like,
oh my
that's
gosh.
How you become a master. Like,
I think Stephen Pressfield, that is the words that he used. I mean, his book has been around for a long time, but it's a very similar thing. Like, it is, it's so true.
Yeah. And he also
going pro, he's like, it's amateurs sit on their took us.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was just like, I'm not going to swear or, you know, gosh darn it. Because this is a family friendly podcast. Usually, no, it is. I don't really like to use harsh language like that. But no, but I mean, it really put a fire under my butt because I'm just like, yeah. I mean, that is true. That is the difference.
Well, and Stephen King also says something that is so painfully obvious, but that remember, Dumbo didn't need the feather. The magic was already in him. You know, like, what a reminder is that? So you don't need expertise to know your why or to have your purpose. You don't need, you know, some crazy backstory to discover your mission. You know, it's just where you are right now.
So what was the name of that book again?
On Writing by Stephen King. You know, the horror guy. But like, it's such a great book. Like, he goes into his, you know, his childhood, his early relationships, his wife and his support. He talks about his drug use and how that impacted his writing. He talks about writing. He talks about the meaning it has for him. He talks about how he got hit by a car and the recovery from that and how that impacted his writing. It's a very, very, for me, a very inspiring book. I didn't think so because I'm not a big Stephen King reader.
You know? I'm still going to read it. I'm not a big writer, but I feel like it sounds like there's a lot that I could grab out of that just in general from an inspiration standpoint. So this was good. I mean, I just really thought this would be great to talk about for all of us. You know, we're all creative people, you know, and so this really applies to our knitting and yarn crafting life. And so what I'd like to do is just sort of leave with a little quote from Big Magic. And it's from the courage section. It's the beginning of the book. And it goes as follows. Do you have the courage to bring forth this work? The treasures that are hidden inside you are hoping you will say yes. I love it. That's it. It is about having courageousness, being courageous, and remembering that we have fear. So it doesn't mean that you're without fear. It doesn't mean, you know, you're fearless, but that you will have courage and you'll walk through the fire.
Yep.
Well, this was great. So Tabitha, thanks for you know, hanging out with me again today.
Thanks for letting me. It's always fun.
All right. So I will see you next time.
Awesome.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I just wanted to let you know that I am taking on coaching clients. So if you're interested in chatting with me for 15 minutes, I have some slots open for those of you that are really thinking about taking your designing or your passion for yarn crafting to the next level and you would like to start a fiber loving business. Well, I can definitely help you out. And if you want to see if a coaching program is a good fit, you can go to karagotwarner.com/strategy session and you can set up a 15-minute call with me. It's a video call over Skype. And this is if you're ready to go forward and make this a business. So check it out, karagotwarner.com/strategy strategy session to set up your free 15-minute call with me. So that's it, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Power Pearls Podcast, and I will see you next week. Take care.